Hey you, welcome to Bloom Baby Bloom, a podcast dedicated to holistic living, learning, and healing from an African-centric perspective. I'm your host, Maina Chenzi, a holistic life coach, multi-passionate creative, and your dedicated digital soul sister. Hey you, welcome to this weekend Sunday podcast. And I hope you are well wherever you are. This weekend's podcast is about existing as a sovereign and decolonial being. If you follow me on any of my platforms or just know me as a person, you will know that these are subjects that are quite important to my being. I love to talk about being a free person, living in a way of self-ownership. And when I think about also healing and evolving and re-existing on this planet from a place of power and self-awareness, those are things that also come to mind. I question, why in the first place are we in these situations? Why are we in the first place living in patterns and societies that are very inorganic to us as beings? Why do we live in ways that kind of support our suffering more than our thriving? And for me, questioning all this holistically, because I am a big believer in holistic living, if you haven't already guessed, and questioning our self-ownership for sure is one of those things that I like to look into holistically. And so coming back to the subject of sovereignty and decolonial existence, these are stuff that I think are just as important as our own journeys to self-healing and self-ownership and self-empowerment and grounding in an existence that feels aligned and true to who we are. And so that's what I'd like to explore with you in this episode on Bloom Baby Bloom. So first of all, I thought we should again get back on talking about decolonial being. And for that, I found a quote that I'd like to share from a paper which talks about coloniality. And I think, of course, if we are understanding one thing, sometimes because we exist in its opposite, we have to understand that opposite first. So if we want to be healthy, we first also have to understand what being unhealthy looks like and feels like. And I think when we think about decolonial existence, for me at least, it always refers back to understanding what coloniality or colonial existence feels and looks like on the individual's life. And so in this quote, it says, "Thus, coloniality survives colonialism. It is maintained alive in books, in criteria for academic performance, in cultural patterns, in common sense, in the self-image of peoples, in the aspirations of self, and so many other aspects of our modern experience. In a way, as modern subjects, we breathe coloniality all the time and every day." Of course, all the shared material will be included in the description box if you'd like to read more and learn more. But I thought that alone was, in a way, a very holistic way of seeing what happens to a colonial existence or a colonial being. And even in that quote, I could say you could add more into that, especially how it affects a person mentally, physically, spiritually, and the way they navigate their life. But obviously, understanding the very fact that being colonial or living in a colonial way doesn't only exist under colonialism, but exists even beyond that, because the ideas that it presents to us were not just bureaucratic or only affecting government or certain areas of life, but they changed the very reality in which people existed in, and particularly people of color. And so specifically as an African woman, these are stuff that I really care about, because even though we are 60 years, one generation away from colonialism, from a lot of people 60, 80 years, the effects of the colonial mentality still to this day cause a lot of harm to our being, to our prosperity, and even to the future we can imagine for ourselves and future generations. So I think being aware of what it means to exist in a colonial identity or colonial existence helps us to be one step closer to understanding or reimagining what decolonial existence would be by itself. When it comes to decolonial existence, for me, what it has meant is questioning all the ways that I was taught to see my existence as a Black person, and questioning not only how that affected me, but what the intention of being taught to live that way was. And I think for me, one thing that always comes into play is being so much aware that our existence as colonial subjects were about being of benefit to the colonizers and not really about our well-being, even if they would word it in that way in certain times, that they were doing us a favor, that we were being educated, we were being civilized, we were being healed, we were being so many things. Goodness, because of their gracious and kindness. We do know right now that a lot of things that were done to us under the name of progress and civilization and civilizing did us more harm than good, and we to this very day live through those harmful traumatic experiences. And not only do we live through them, but they've become such an ingrained part of our societies that we no longer even see them as foreign. Almost the right way of doing and being, the correct way of envisioning our lives and our futures. Many of us don't even think about that. Hey, these things that we do, how we go to school, how we organize our work culture in African or South American or any other colonized spaces, we don't think about all this, how we even do businesses, how we understand well-being and success. All these things are not natural. They are created from a certain worldview, from a certain people who came from a certain place and whose needs were a certain way, and therefore their projections of the ideal person and existent were molded by their context. But they had such a general and arrogant way of seeing themselves that they thought that everybody else needed to live under those exact ways and expectations of existence, whether it was religious, whether it was societal, whether it was status, whether it was spiritual, whether it was science or intellect. Everything was molded from a certain existence and then copy-pasted and enforced aggressively and violently and traumatically on the rest of the world. So for me, when I talk about decolonial existence, is questioning the things in my life and using the awareness that some things that I do and have were created for certain people in a certain way to have power over certain people. And it's not in my interest to continue that legacy of colonial existence for my colonizers. And so by intentionally existing in a way that brings me back to a way of being that is powerful to myself, that is accepting of myself, that is questioning of the things I live by, and it can be in as holistic as a way as I want to, because we were colonized holistically. Therefore, our decolonization must also happen holistically, whether that be questioning how we eat, questioning how we love, question how we see work, questioning how we see spirituality, questioning how we even take care of our bodies, questioning what we think is beautiful and ugly, questioning the purpose of our very existence. All of these things I put in the eye of understanding what was taught to my people, who was it taught to them by, what was the context it was taught them into by, or in which they were taught that in, and also is that of benefit to me. If there are certain things I've inherited, like this foreign colonizer language, English, I can still see, hey, by learning this language, even though I learned it the way I did and to the detriment of my own mother tongue, thankfully I am able to still speak my mother tongue to some degree, and I hope to continue improving and growing in that aspect, but I'm really fortunate and lucky that I still have connection to that, thanks to my mother. But I will say that there are certain things I can see and be like, okay, the way I got that was a detriment to a certain thing, but this is how I improved that. For example, actively wanting to learn my mother language. But also by speaking this language, I am connected to a community that is much broader. And by knowing that, that is a privilege to me and my ideas and the things I want to share, but also the things I've been able to learn because I speak this language and because there's a great body of work also on decolonization that happens in English, I'm quite fortunate that I have the ability to learn and to share through that language. However, there are also other things that I might question, and my overall conclusion could be that these things do no longer serve me, and therefore I'm going to look for other alternatives. I think also a very interesting thing in that is the very fact that because I get to question those areas in my life, I also get to reimagine or even explore the many ways I could replace those things in my life that is more aligned to my nature and way of being, and to actively choose for myself how I want to exist in those spaces. So for example, letting go of my religion and my religious upbringing and ideologies from that religious upbringing, and being interested of course in religious books or religious ideas to a certain degree, but not feeling that I have to dogmatically live according to any, because I understand that many of them were brought to us as weapons of colonization, and you can see how well they've worked, because even today a lot of the religions we still follow are not in any way to empower, to liberate and free us so we can be powerful, self-governed, loved and worthy beings the way that we feel about ourselves, but rather oftentimes perpetuate this idea of victimhood without end, the fact that you are nothing, you are incapable without this external God or external being. Whereas I do really believe that there is something greater, but it does not need any religion to be communicated to us. It's within us. And I think those are things that you can also find in certain religion, because religion is big. Not all religion is interpreted the same way, and not all religious people feel the same way in their religiosity. However, I have noticed oftentimes in poorer environments or in spaces where people don't have a lot of peace, how that same religion is actually used to keep them in those positions of powerlessness in hopes that one day everything ends and the savior, or you go to heaven and that's the only place you'll ever know peace or well-being, and therefore you are forced to be disengaged and sign out of the very life that you actually do have, which for me personally I think is such a pity, because that's the only guarantee you do know, is that you have this life. Everything else is belief and faith, and while we should have faith to some degree, I think, at least for me personally, I respect of course how people choose to live even by knowing all these things, but for me my decolonial journey has led me to also know for sure that I'm not interested in belonging to any man preached or man created or man-centric religions, and especially man-centric religions that teach that we are nothing without something, whereas I do certainly and wholly believe that we are born knowing and we are born whole within us, that a child goes out of its mother's womb already encoded with the ability to understand and to experience this divine connection, but then it's manipulated into thinking about its limitations and thinking about its unworthiness and thinking about how it is already born bad and sinful. There's so many things we teach children that in a way it's just cutting off their wings, whereas my truest belief from a decolonial existence is that I am of the same fabric that all is formed from, and I within myself and in my DNA, just like any other animal, I'm given the tools to be discerning. I'm given the tools to govern myself and my existence, the tools to think independently, because if I wasn't, I would be literally wired to other people, and I'm not. I believe in the individual who exists within a community, and I believe that a community is a concept, whereas an individual is something that is real, and therefore it's quite important for the individual to be in harmony with themselves, to be aligned with themselves in order to create communities that also reflect that alignment, that harmony. And when we teach the individual to sacrifice their own knowledge, their own inner balance, their own inner wisdom, and their own connection with spirit or spirituality or the cosmos, we are also forbidding that of the collective and the communities we exist within. So basically then, to exist as a decolonial being, it's for me to exist in a place of questioning and mindfulness. And mindfulness that comes from understanding of history and understanding of power dynamics and understanding the many ways in which we are encouraged to give away our power as people of color, and understanding in the many ways in which those systems that were created a long time ago, though given new names, continue to oppress us and continue to brainwash us into a colonial mindset, into ways of Eurocentric values, into ways of alienating us against our own nature, our own grounding, our own inner wisdom. And not only that, vilifying it to the degree that we ourselves will continue to encourage the alienation from our own selves. So by approaching life from that questioning and that mindfulness, I'm actively reclaiming my right as a free being, as a sovereign being, as an existence that is part of the bigger whole, but also has the right to exist in a specific and unique way, as that expression is shown even in my very creation and in every person's creation. And I feel that I can trust the uniqueness and the inner grounding within all of us and our own intuition, because I know that we exist on this planet not just as humans, but with animals and other beings, and they are out of our own control, yet they are part of the bigger ecosystem and they are part of the greater good of this eco existence that we are part of. So therefore I can trust myself, I can trust my brothers and sisters to also be self-governing, to also be whole as they are, to also be able to guide themselves and their path and their truth to whatever that can be and look like. But I can also in that same breath stand and defend the right for people to choose and defend the right for people to express those freedoms and be against anybody who's interested in using their power, their access, or their violence to silence and oppress others. So I feel like my relationship to living a decolonial existence also is quite aligned with my understanding of a holistic existence and holistic healing and even just holistic sharing of this planet. So I feel quite in tune with that way of thinking, and I know it's connected to getting to the root of my existence as a Black queer woman living in the colonizer's homestead while trying to live a decolonial and self-empowering existence. So I feel like that was the first part, and I hope that makes sense to you. And also, if you ever want to learn more, there's so much work being done on decolonization of the individual. Lots of the work previously was focused more on countries and government, but never on the colonial effects that were passed on to the individuals and generations and continue to enslave us mentally and therefore enslave us in our societies, because everything starts from the mind and you can never be as free as anywhere than what you've been able to cultivate in your own mind. So freedom and healing and well-being comes from questioning our existence in an unhealthy environment and slowly and delicately taking out things that no longer serve us and replacing them things that put us in a place of self-love, self-compassion, and self-respect and connection to our identity from a place of appreciation of our ancestors, but also of understanding of our duty to ourselves, our well-being foremost, and also what we desire to pass on to future generations of people who will look like us and who we want to exist in a more empowered way. I feel then to follow that with sovereignty or sovereign existence is quite in tune with one another, because I feel like decolonial is quite specific to people of color, but all people need to exist from a sovereign existence. And that for me is quite interesting, even in the definition of it, because just like decolonization was usually focused on, say, the government and the ruling of a people, sovereignty is often used to talk about countries or monarchies and what have you. It's not really practiced in a way to look at individuals regardless of royal connection, but just everyday peasants basically. Which I think it's even why it's more important for all of us as humans to be curious about those kinds of things. I think first of all we could start with defining what sovereignty means. So the word sovereign in its exact words means a person, body, or state in which independent and supreme authority is vested. A chief ruler with supreme power, a king or other ruler with limited power. There's also another meaning that goes on to say supreme in power, superior to all others, highest in power, chief, independent of and unlimited by any other, possessing or entitled to original authority or jurisdiction as a sovereign prince, for example. However, the word itself, sovereign, comes from an old French word that is a souverain, but also it means highest, supreme, chief, and also from vulgar Latin. I don't know why it says vulgar, excuse me if I'm being silly on that, but it's a vulgar Latin word which is super anus, meaning chief, principal. So based on all of this, the definition of the word to be sovereign can be related to a king, a chief, or ruler who has supreme power. I know that also sovereignty is often used to describe the Christian God, and so even when you look for it, I can sense that that word is always and continues to be more related to those kinds of things, to state, to countries, to territories, and to God. However, as time has progressed, more and more people are also applying it to the individual, again regardless of their connection to government or royalty, but just everyday peasants, and the right to claim that same power on a more decentralized scope, which I'm always for. I'm all for decentralized power, power to the people before anything. And so sovereignty in that sense is quite aligned with those philosophies. One way to bring that down to the ground, to the people, is understanding to exist as a sovereign being is to be someone who is competent and responsible and has the supreme power over his kingdom in so-called ways. And so that basically means that you are absolutely in charge of your existence, but obviously with that also comes the responsibility, which is a very important part for the holistic view of liberation, that liberation is not something we ask of others and then also ask or put them in charge of sustaining that liberation or that liberty, but understanding liberty is much more about ownership and taking responsibility of the way we want to exist. And therefore in its ways, its own way, you cannot ask for it, you cannot give it to be sustained by somebody else, but it's through your own way of existence, through being a responsible individual and taking yourself accountable to that freedom, sustaining it, achieving it, and protecting it. So inner way to exist as a sovereign being is to exist in full awareness of the ownership you have over your existence. And with that ownership, the power it gives you, but also the responsibility it also requires from you to attain that power over your own life, sustain it, and protect it. That goes mind, body, soul, spirit, and surroundings. And that's also what we talk about when we talk about the liberation of a country, of a people, of a community, that in doing so, often that liberation is given to us by the very oppressors that try to decide how much liberty people are allowed to have, who's supposed to have them in which way, but also sustain the right to take away those liberties at any given time should they want to, should it not benefit them. Therefore, it's not even truly liberty because it's given to us by an entity that has power above us to some degree. And that, of course, can mean governments, but it can also mean spiritually. And by giving away our power to these establishments or entities, we then can also get rid of the responsibility we have to some degree of our own lives, except the responsibility they require from us. But it's not the responsibility we have given ourselves through our own inner knowing, our own self-ownership and intuitive existence, but that are pushed down to us either by laws or commandments or what have you. But then by taking that power back and reclaiming that power for yourself, not asking for it, not begging for it, not fighting for it, but deciding that I want to exist as a sovereign being, I want to be the ruler of my own kingdom and my own queendom, whatever you call it. Personally, I don't like much of those talks when it comes to royal existence and kingdom and queendom, because it always requires servants, and I don't believe in that. I'm team no masters, no servants, no slaves, but we are all here in service of ourselves and each other, and we can exist in a way that is equal and yet also respects the uniqueness of each person in that collective existence. So, in that regard, by reclaiming our self-ownership and our cosmic right to that, we also then take on the responsibility of practicing the things we need to practice to be free people, to think freely, to live in a way that exalts liberty and the respect of liberty, not only of our own liberty, but the liberty and the right to freedom of others. So in a way, it is quite you cannot just want freedom for yourself and your own way of being, but you also respect that freedom for other people over their own existence. And as long as you are not harming anybody or their property or their right to exist, then everybody can coexist from that place of liberty and self-ownership. But it takes a lot for us to get there, and I'm often surprised at how, because people think that that's so extremely different, that they think it would never, it can never be achieved. I'm not a believer in heaven or in utopias. I'm a believer in realistic harmony, and I don't think that that is unachievable. I think it's more about realigning ourselves with our own inner knowings and inner balances and harmony, and respecting that and taking ownership of that, and then respecting and seeing that for other people as well. And I think the distrust of each other comes from the distrust of ourselves with our own power. And so that's where the whole responsibility comes in again, that by being more responsible with our own existence and our own power and getting comfortable existing in our powerful selves, because we trust ourselves, it becomes easier to trust others. And so I feel like, again, that goes back to the individual within a community and collective, and that can only reflect back to the individual and the individuality we allow to exist in the collective from a healthy place. So allow, I think I'm actually guessing the word allow, that we make space for, in a way that we expect from the collective in order to respect the individual, which, as I said before, but we repeat, The collective should not have more power than the individual, because the collective is nothing without the individual, and you can always have individuals, but collective is a choice. Therefore, the collective is of service to the individuals and not the other way around. But then, how does somebody practice to exist in a way of sovereignty? And I want to read something for that, and that is, having the right of sovereignty is not the same as being sovereign. One must assert a right through one's thoughts and actions, or the right is essentially lost. Ultimately, your sovereignty has to be demonstrated. The classic saying, freedom is not free, echoes this idea. Rights must be claimed by the constant application of attention, thought, and engagement. I find this quite interesting and important, because again, it goes back to, you have to put what you believe in action. And also, by changing the way you think about yourself doesn't necessarily mean that automatically how you exist within the world is going to change by itself, but you should practice your values and thoughts by acting them out and the practices that you have over your life. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry about that. I just noticed that my very old computer, which I still want to keep until the day it gives up, was in the background with a wild fan. To excuse that, it's doing its very best, just like I am. But yeah, as I was saying, so basically that our philosophies and ideals, or the wishes of the ways we want to exist, cannot just be in thought but have to be in practice. So to exist as a free sovereign being means that you are capable of having your own thoughts, of forming your own opinions and stating those opinions, and also living in a way that makes sense to you, not just because it's what is expected or encouraged by society. Unless certain things that are encouraged by society also apply to your own inner truth, then go right ahead. But the idea is examining your existence and making sure that you exist in a way that is dignified to your philosophies and your values as an individual. And also being aware that the majority of us are trained, not the majority, we are all trained to conform to society's norms and values. And so by being able to question those norms and values and choose what makes sense to you, you're reclaiming the ownership of your existence, and also facing any consequences of those choices and taking accountability of your life based on those choices that you've made, right? So I feel like oftentimes we are taught that the safest way to exist is by doing what is expected from you and living in a way that does not rock the boat too much. But by doing that, you are also giving away the right for you to have a full expressive existence of your own uniqueness, your own values, and the things that are truly aligned with your being. Another part of an article I'd like to share from you says that to reclaim our power, we need to start forming our own beliefs, trust our inner truth, and do what we know is right, not what others tell us or society expects. We need to engage our hearts and minds and stand firm in what we know is true and right. I feel like the subject of existing as a decolonial and sovereign being is particularly quite important to the times we're in, where we are almost not only just from a small community or village or town or city or country, but the whole global existence is morphed basically into one big global community, but not on all the goodness that could exist from that huge global community. But basically, it's just another way that power has become centralized to such a degree that we are no longer just expected to think the same in our family, in our village, in our town, in our city, in our country, but globally. And so the idea of the individual, of the ways of existence that are possible for all of us, or many of us if we choose to, are narrowed down to an even smaller amount, because we are adopting this dominant way of existence, this very aggressive way of existence, and just plastering it everywhere. I also feel that in these times we're living in this global pandemic, and the ways our rights, the ways our freedoms and liberties have been negotiated along the way for us to sort and court, quote unquote, be safe, but that safety is defined by a certain amount of people, by what they see as safety and what they think is valuable. And the laws are created in a way that does not let into account the responsibility and the freedoms of the individuals over their own lives, but rather we are becoming hostage to the collective, not only the collective, but a few people who've decided what's best for everybody. And my idea is always that if an individual is not allowed to rule over their life, why should we choose another individual to rule over everybody else? It makes absolutely no sense. But just in general, I believe that people should get to decide what is best for them, and I'm very appalled by any way that we coerce people or we shame people, guilt people into doing things that they might not want to do or don't feel aligned to do over their own lives. At the end of the day, everybody dies. That's not anything we can escape, but we get to decide how we want to live, and I feel like that is a very sacred and important thing that we should all actively be engaged in. That's the only power we have, is how we live. And if even that is taken away from us, what is life really about and for? And I feel like it's quite important that we learn to ask those kinds of questions. What is the purpose of my life? What is the purpose of me being here as myself if I can't choose for myself what is best for me? And if what I want done in the way I live and even to my own body is the debate of other people, and I can be coerced into that, I can be forced into that, I'm really against that. I don't feel like anybody should be allowed to decide what happens to another person's body, even if it's in the name of for the safety of the whole good. The whole good does not exist without individuals. Again, the collective and community does not exist without individuals. Therefore, in no way can the collective or what the collective needs be more important than what the individuals within that community or collective need. And therefore, we should respect the rights and liberties of other people within that collective if we want our own also respected and given space. And so, to summarize, I think to exist as a sovereign and decolonial being is to live a mindful life, aware of the context of existence you live within, to be aware of your power, to be aware of your disempowerment, to be aware of the many ways you can reclaim your existence, reclaim your right to choose your own path, reclaim to take that path at your own pace, reclaim your joy, your fierceness, to reclaim your bravery, and reclaim the courage to live a life that is true to you, and to trust that you are supported and loved by the cosmos, that you are supported and loved by all the goodness in the world that creates the whole entirety, and that you are part of that same infinite source. And also, I like to read something in that regard that I hope will be a good way to end this episode on. And it goes, "You are a slice of the powerful infinite being that we call the universe, the source, all that is. Stand in that power confidently, be true to yourself, and start being a follower. It is all within you. All the knowledge of the universe is deep within you. You are connected to all of it, to source or God or whatever you choose to call it. Just go within and become quiet and trust what you find, what you feel, and what you know. Awaken the divine intelligence within. A bright future for humanity is still very much possible. But we are going to have to wake up out of our haze of consumption, distraction, laziness, apathy, and fear, and start paying attention and getting engaged. Even though all our experiences expand source's understanding of itself and the nature of its existence, and therefore are all valuable, surely we've had enough of the many less than desirable themes repeating in our existence. Surely we've had enough of wage, and debt slavery of going to a job every day that we hate or bores us to tears, of all the competition and conflict, of all the pain and suffering, have we not? I think it is safe to say that our source would encourage us to choose a higher and grander vision of what we could be. I think it's safe to say that our source would prefer the experience of joy, abundance, and freedom for all. And so, lovelies, that is the subject of conversation for this week's podcast about living a sovereign and decolonial life holistically. I am May again. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you should ever wish to have some guidance, some dope ass black encouragement on your own sovereign and decolonial existence from a healthy space, then I am most definitely your girl. As I always say, I love my work and I love holding space for other people to talk about and approach their life from a holistic healing and holistic living perspective in a way that empowers them to own their own existence, to take back the power that they have been giving away or has been stolen from them. And I do that all from the comfort of your home in these times digitally. So feel free to check out my website on Bloom Baby Bloom under Holistic Sessions and book yourself a session. I'll be waiting for you. Otherwise, I wish you such a lovely weekend and I hope you're well. Wherever you are, I send you the brightest and happiest of hugs. Until next time, do take care. Bye. I hope you have enjoyed this episode on Bloom Baby Bloom. If you have any questions or comments or just little highs, please feel free to reach out here or on our website at bloombabybloom.com. Otherwise, as always, I send you love, courage, and light to guide you on your path to your truest and most abundant self. You are so very worthy. See you next time. With love, May.